Very happy to be with y'all here this morning, and I'm thankful that Brother Marty preached so well, because if I don't, then we have a good sermon to rely on, and we trust that the Lord will bless Brother Ronald as well. I'm looking forward to hearing you, dear brother. We were coming home from church one time, and I asked Sister Robbie a question, and the answer that she gave tells of the wonderful person that she is. As I like to tell my kids, for Pete's sake, marry somebody better than you are. And in their case, that's not too difficult, and in my case as well. And that should have gotten the biggest amen of the sermon right there. Amen. I'll amen that one too. But I asked her, I said, well, honey, what would be your thinking, your philosophy, your outlook, if there was no resurrection? If we found out that there is not going to be life from the dead, if there's no heaven. And to show you how smart she is, well, it's your question, you answer first. And like a dummy, I did. And I said, well, I'd just be out there having fun all the time. I mean, what's the point? I'd be pleasing myself. And she goes, well, I think I'd want to try to leave something behind for good and leave the world a better place. I said, that's why I married you right there. Amen. That's a wonderful philosophy to have. But even though hearing her say that, I still would do the what I said I'd do. But I've been thinking about that question a lot. What if there is no resurrection? And the Apostle Paul tells us what it would be like if there is no resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19, where Paul says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now, I believe that the scenario that Paul is picturing is if we have everything in Christ that we enjoy presently, if we have the church, if we have the good news, if we have singing and prayer and fellowship, but no resurrection, as good as all that is, we would just be absolutely miserable. Because that is the driving force and the all-consuming hope of my life. Amen. Is that I will see him face to face and live with him in eternal bliss forever. Amen. That's, you can't get any better than that. As much as I love the church, I'd give it up to be with him. Enoch walked with God, but then something better happened. God took him. He was not, for God took him. Elijah threw himself under a juniper tree and asked the Lord to take him. He said, take my life. The Lord answered his prayer in a way that he'd never dreamed. He sent chariots down later and carried him into paradise itself. And just a few minutes, I just want to just briefly look at this sentiment and to remind us and to remind me that no matter how good this life can be, and no matter how terrible this life can get, there is something coming that's going to just wipe it all away. Because in my life, I'm disappointed in myself. And I had a lot of stuff mapped out and scripted. And it didn't go according to script. And if I didn't have the hope of the resurrection, I would be in utter depression and in misery. Even though by nature I'm an optimistic person. I mean, I don't see the glass as half full. I'm just glad there's water in the glass. That's me. But if I didn't have, I mean, this life gets me down. You know, I look in the mirror and I'm not that guy anymore that I was. And I'm in that dumb dad stage in my kid's life. And I'm going to get smarter in a few more years, but right now I'm about as dumb as you can get. And sometimes I'm just ready. I mean, if the Lord came back, I wish He would right now. They're just, and I say that in hope, but sometimes I say that just in misery. I am just sick and tired of this world. I'm tired of it. And I'm tired of fighting, and I'm tired of struggling, and I'm tired of disappointment. Chiefly, I'm tired of me disappointing everybody and disappointing myself and those that are the closest to me. I get just sick and tired of it. I'm tired of Mondays. You know what I'm saying? And then I get tired of Tuesdays too. And I'm tired of traffic, and I'm tired of bills, and I'm tired of recessions, and I'm tired of lousy governments, and I'm tired of income tax. Amen. It's unbiblical. It's not even unconstitutional, it's unbiblical. And then I'm tired of standing in lines, and I'm tired of everything that annoys me. I'm sick and tired of it. But then I get sick and tired of me. I'm tired of the guy that I am. I'm tired of my personality. And I'm tired of my weakness and my follies and my sin. And I hate it. But then there are moments that I want Him to come back because I just can't wait to be with Him. To see Him as He is. And to know Him. And to know as I'm known. If He came back right now, what a way to end the Florida Fellowship meeting. I mean, you talk about ending on a high note right there. I said, I know what the apex of that meeting was. Remember the 2012 of Florida? Yeah, that's when we all came to heaven. Wow. I thought you were a good preacher. You preached the Lord. No, it wasn't me. It ain't me. It's not me. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. So in this life, we do have hope of Jesus Christ. And so we shouldn't be miserable. Really, we shouldn't be miserable. As I say, I don't throw pity parties. I throw pity pageants, pity conventions. I like people to feel sorry for me. I paint myself as an object of misery. I get out on Facebook and I'm good at it and people respond. Amen. I admit it. But then again, look, you know, dude, you're just, it's folly. But what's so wonderful is not me and it's not about what I want, but about what Jesus has done and what He's going to do. Amen. That's it. And then I think about, you know, the things in this life that the Lord has given us, specifically the church and all the things about the church, the preaching, the singing, the praying, the fellowship, the lunch. I mean, all those things that the Lord has blessed us. Hey, those are wonderful things. I have enjoyed this meeting. And I'm glad we've got it. I'm glad we've got the church. What a gift it is. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to build a church, but he did it. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. All right? And it will continue until the Lord comes back. My hope is that I'm there. If the Lord comes, when they come back my life, I hope I'm in the amen corner. Or in the stand. Or amening somebody. Or singing Amazing Grace. I pray that. But somebody will be there, and thank God for that. And so, but as good as it gets in the Spirit of God in this life, the best is yet to come. As I preached a few years ago, he's kept the good wine for last. It's good now, but wait till you get up there. And if salvation was by choice, I'd say, just take me to glory. I'll accept you, but I want to go into glory right now. I want you to move right on up there. And I want to just chase that rabbit for a few minutes and close. And I want to go to Philippians chapter 1. And the Apostle Paul to the Philippian brethren in chapter 1 in verse 23. He said, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." I love the language of that. It's not just good, and it's not just better. It's far better. And when we're with the Lord, there's comparison, but really there's no comparison. This is like heaven, and this is going to sound weird, but heaven's not going to be like this. Amen. That's a deep statement. That's my one deep statement in the sermon. This is like heaven, but heaven's not going to be like this. Because to say heaven's going to be like this, it means heaven's going to be just like this. There's going to be benches and benches and benches and benches. And we're going to be sitting there and amening and whatever. This is like heaven in the sense that time stands still. We feel the presence of God, and we think on nobler things. And we're happy. We ought to be. But heaven is going to surpass this. It's far better. This is good. Paul says, "I would like to stay with you and to abide with you. I have a desire to depart, though, and to be with Christ." He says, verse 24, "Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for your furtherance and for your joy of faith." But Paul's greater desire than even being with the brethren and sisters in Christ and to preach the gospel, his desire was to be with the Lord. We sing a song at home, and it's, "Oh, happy time, long waited for, the comfort of my heart." And there's a verse in that song that says, "Since I have met the saints once more, may we in union part." But then it says, "If fellowship with saints below is to our hearts so sweet, what heavenly rapture shall we know when round the throne we meet?" That's far better than this. The best is yet to come. The best you ever felt, you haven't felt it yet. The happiness you've ever been, you haven't got there yet. And you have to leave this world to get to it. And you're going to be real glad to do it. See, because sometimes we hang on to it. Like, "Well, I got to do this. I've got to retire. I got to raise my kids. I've got to make this plateau." Why? Heaven is the plateau. And thank God we're not working to get there. Because if we're working to get there, we'll never get there. I know where we're working to get to. If salvation is by works, I'm a universalist. We're all going to the same place. And it is in heaven. All right? But by grace and by the love of God through the redemption in Jesus Christ, we shall see him in a better place than this.
Amen.
All right. And another example, in the book of Luke chapter 2, there is a man that was given a very unusual promise. And let me just let the scriptures tell us. In Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. He was a blessed man. He was a good man. He was righteous. He was devout. And he had a hope in Jesus Christ. The consolation, the comfort of the Lord. But he was waiting for the first coming of Jesus Christ. And he had the blessing of the abiding presence of the Holy Ghost with him. Now you talk about a man that was addicted to hope. And he got a promise of God himself to him. In verse 26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He was actually going to see Jesus Christ in the flesh before he died. Wow. That's pretty good. In a sense, we're better than him. We have it better than him. Because we know that he's come. We have fellowship with him here through the Holy Ghost. And we have hope of his second coming. So we don't have it too bad, do we? We can stop the griping right now. I'm preaching to me. None of you have that problem. I'm preaching to me. And he spent his days waiting. And then there fell a day. In verse 27, and he came by the Spirit. That's a good way to come to church.
Amen.
That's about the only way to come to church. If you want to see the Lord, you need to come by the Spirit. Don't come in your own self or whatever. You need to come. But pray that the Lord will bless you to come in the Spirit. He came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents had brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Now you would have thought that, you know, things were about to get real interesting, that the Lord had come, and that he could have seen history being made, real history. He knew before many people that Jesus had come. And he could have stayed and watched him grow and been a part of his ministry. But you know what he wanted? Just let me go on and be with you. Let me depart in peace. Even holding the infant Jesus in his arms and seeing him face to face and understanding that that promise had been fulfilled, something better waited Simeon, and that was glory.
Amen.
Eternal life. My friends, it's waiting for you too. It's coming. I may not make it home to Texas, but Jesus is coming back. That's sure.
Amen.
I may not make it to retirement, but Jesus is coming back. That's sure. I may not ever preach a lick again in my life, but Jesus is coming back. I may not ever have a good day from now on, but I've got a good day coming that will never end. This recession may never end, but there's prosperity in eternal life.
Amen.
He's coming back, my beloved. Nothing's guaranteed except Jesus is coming back. That makes everything all right.
Amen.
And we can live in peace and we can die in peace.
Amen.
As that song says, my heart, which on this promise lives, can on this promise die. You've already got dying grace, my beloved. Let thy servant depart in peace. And then finally, in the book of Job, chapter 19. Job chapter 19. Job made a statement, and I'll just quote this, and then I'll get to the text I want to read. Job made a statement. He says, "All my appointed days I shall wait till my change come." So Job had a hope of something better. Now here was a man that lost everything in a few hours. Lost his health, lost his living, lost his children. Even his wife just said, "Curse God and die. Just get it over with. What's the point?" But Job had a hope in spite of this great affliction that he was enduring. Even his friends came to him, and basically what they were saying was, "What did you do to get in this shape?
Yeah.
Go ahead and tell us. You must have done something." But one thing that sustained Job, even through Job's own ignorance and self-righteousness, one thing that he had was a hope.
That's right.
And he said this, "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and let in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God."
Amen.
You know what Job's focus was? Yes, he knew his Redeemer liveth. That was good. But you know what was better than knowing that he liveth? Knowing that he's going to see him at the latter day.
Amen.
That's it. Man, I could preach a good sermon on this or that or whatever, but if there's no resurrection, my preaching is in vain. Your hope is in vain. Our singing is in vain. But because there is a resurrection, and because Jesus Christ is the first fruits from the dead, and because he's coming back, it's all good.
Amen.
That's why Paul would say at the end of that resurrection chapter, "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain." It's not an empty labor. It's a good thing to do, and he's coming back, and you can rejoice in that. Get a start on it right now. Don't wait to heaven to be happy. Be happy in the Lord right now. He's coming back. He's coming back. Friends, do you know he's coming back? He's coming back. Hallelujah. What a Savior. He's coming back. And he says, "Whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." He said, "My Redeemer, my God, I'll see him. That's better than anything I've ever had. It's better than even knowing that he's there." Seriously, let me say that again. I wasn't even going to make that point. That's a good point. Seeing your Redeemer is better than knowing your Redeemer's there. It's good to know he's there, isn't it? It's good to pray to him. He's the object of your hope. He's the object of your faith. But better than knowing is the reality when you see him. Who can paint the scenes of glory where the ransom dwell on high, where the golden harps forever sound redemption through the sky. Oh, what a day that will be.
That's right.
Oh, I'll tell you what, I've had a good day yesterday. I'm having a pretty good day today so far. But there's a better day coming when I see him face to face. May God richly bless you is my prayer. Love you all. Come ahead.
Amen.
Dear brother.
Amen.